Gary and Lindsay and I were having lunch with Roy. Roy is Danielle's husband. And he said, "Hey, guys, I think I'm going to get married soon." And we're like, "What?" Just out of the blue. And he's like, "Yeah, here's a picture of my girlfriend." I'm like, "Oh, she's so beautiful." And he said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to get, when I go back to, is it Nebraska? Nebraska. I'm going to ask her to be my wife." And it's just like, "Oh, that's so awesome." And then they got married in May. And I had just actually seen her only in a little photo on the phone. And Lindsay and I it was maybe like third week of May, I can't even remember. We happened to be in Target. And I saw her like coming from a long distance. I thought, "Oh, that kind of looks like the picture of Roy's fiance, but I think they're on their honeymoon, so that couldn't possibly be her." But I was like, "Oh, she's just so pretty." And turns out it was her. They something about your honeymoon, you didn't go. Did you even go?
Yeah, it was just later.
Later. You went on a later honeymoon. So she was in Target a lot, well, differently than I had expected. Jane and I had got to have dinner with Danielle months ago, and she was able to share some of her testimony with us. And I asked her then, "Would you be willing to share with the ladies?" Because it's a beautiful testimony of just a sweet relationship with the Lord. So would you welcome Danielle as she comes to speak tonight?
Pressure off of me, but thanks. Okay, let me get set up here. I think it's okay. I'm afraid my water's gonna spill. Oh, can you hear me? Clear? Yeah. Oh no, it's okay. I can see. I'll just lean with it. Okay. Anyways, some of you might not recognize me, though, because I'm usually the girl with the ponytail and sweats on. So I know some of you had said, "Oh, you look so nice tonight." And I was like, "Thank you. Yeah, I decided to put jeans on for once." So thank you for those women who came up to me and said that, recognizing that I did put effort into this. As Terry said, my name is Danielle Helu, and my husband and I have been coming here, I guess it's been a year and a half now. So when I was younger, you know, I heard the pastor say, "I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you about, and then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I just told you." So that's what you'll get from me tonight, where I was apart from Christ, what Christ did to change my life, and the love encounter that I had with him, and where I'm at now. So again, I'm very humbled to be up here. I truly believe any one of you could be up here sharing about God, because God is good, and God is good all the time, and he's given each one of us a testimony. So I guess tonight was my night to share. Lord willing, you get a night as well, or some point in your life, I guess. I want to start just with a parable, and some of you may have heard this before, but when I heard this, it was finally like God gave me the visual of how he got my attention. And, it's about a shepherd, and he has his, you know, flock. Okay, thanks. You know, and he's tending them, taking care of them. Well, his friend comes along, and, you know, his friend is always hanging out with him, you know, day in and day out. And finally, his friend is like, "All right, man, I got to ask you, like, what's up with this one sheep? Like, I always see you feeding it and, you know, giving it water. And when we're moving, like, you pick it up and you even carry it." And the shepherd's like, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, his leg is broke." And so the guy's like, "Oh, okay. And, you know, naturally he was like, "What happened?" And the shepherd's like, "Oh, I broke it." And the guy, you know, "What? Why would you go and do something like that?" And the shepherd said, "Well, because it was disobedient and it didn't depend on me. You know, every time we would move, it would always go astray. you know, it always lead others astray, and the same thing would happen. I would have to go out, I would have to bring it back in. So finally, you know, I did what was best, and I broke its leg so that it would learn dependency on me, that it would be obedient to me. It would be dependent on me to, you know, to feed it, to give it water and to move it. And now, you know, I got him. So finally, you know, when I heard that, God finally gave that visual of how he got my life. So I was born in Omaha, Nebraska. It's in the middle of the United States. For those of you who don't know where it is, right in the middle. I was born the third child of six. And if any of you have a lot of kids or know anything about the birthing order, the third child is the strong-willed, independent one. As my mom would say, when I was younger, you know, I needed attention. I wanted attention, whether it was good or bad, I was going to get it. And that's how I was, apart from Christ, I'll say. But anyway, so I'm from a family of six, and we were always competitive. You know, we had our family game nights, you know, even challenging each other, like in the classroom, you know, who could get straight A's, who could get the best grades. And, got involved with volleyball. I started playing volleyball when I was 10, so that was only 10 years ago. I'm just kidding, it was a lot longer than that. But started playing when I was 10, and it was something God had just gifted me with. You know, I had the physical means to play, just my build and the skills. It just came very natural, very easy to me, and so I excelled in it. I went on to play in high school, and again, you know, from an outside perspective, everything I had going on, you know, I was the freshman on the varsity, and, you know, we won a state championship, and the honors and accolades, you know, all came with it. And, you know, I proclaimed that I loved Jesus and I was a Christian, and I even got involved with leadership, but my actions always spoke a lot louder than my words. So with volleyball, I ended up receiving a scholarship to play at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. So that's just like an hour away from Omaha. So it's close enough to home, but, you know, but far enough away. So I went to Nebraska, and in Ecclesiastes 2:10, it says, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure." And this is where I was at Nebraska. You know, I was the student athlete, really the athlete, and anything that I wanted, anything that my flesh wanted, I lusted for, I desired, I refused my heart nothing. And whether that was, you know, guys, whether that was partying, whether it was even, you know, the false satisfaction of being great at volleyball, you know, we were always good, you know, getting honors with that. But really, you know, the decisions that I made destroyed me on the inside. It destroyed the relationships that I had with my family. And I knew that. I didn't want to reach out to anyone because I was so afraid that they would know, you know, what I was really doing. And, you know, like I said, like my words didn't mean anything because my actions always spoke a lot louder than those. So anyways, by my junior year of college, I probably was at the lowest point of my life. Felt like every decision I made was just the wrong decision. Ended up making it through that year, and I went on to, you know, my senior year, and again was successful in volleyball, but you know, on the outside I had it all going on, and on the inside I was lost, I was broken, I was depressed. And I truly didn't let anyone close to me at all. It was all, you know, surface level. I thought I was done playing volleyball, but about a year later, so this was January of 2008, it was kind of like a continuum of just being in the lowest point of my life, honestly. And I remember sitting there, and I cried out to God. And I was like, God, I need you. You know, every choice I make is the wrong choice. I don't want to live like this. I can't live like this anymore. Now, I believe that sometimes God will allow you to stay in the situation that you're in, you know, that he's placed you in, and work through it with him so you can be mature, you know, and complete, not lacking anything. But for me at this point in my life, every choice that I made was the wrong choice. So God literally picked me up and put me on the other side of the world, a place called Indonesia. If you don't know where that is, it's completely on the opposite side, and I didn't know where it was at the time, honestly. I had to look it up on Google, but, you know, a 12-hour time difference from Omaha, Nebraska, and he brought me over there. I lived in a village my first, for volleyball. I got a professional contract to play volleyball over there. I lived in a village. I had no TV, no internet, no cell phones. You know, the driver would come and pick us up for practice and then bring us back, and that was it. And, you know, at just like a farmer with the seasons of the crop, I feel like this season of my life was the first step, so per se, in God getting my attention. And here is where, you know, he started teaching me about my identity, you know, about who I am as a woman, as a daughter of him, as a sister. And so, but again, like my flesh, my lust, like always spoke louder, and my words or my actions, you know, were not matching up to what God was showing me and what my words spoke. I ended up playing my second season in Indonesia. And in this season of life, I feel like God was teaching me about relationships, you know, and he allowed me to see different kinds of relationships. And when I went back home that summer, you know, started to, you know, rebuild the relationships that I had destroyed by my decisions and my actions with my family. So I ended up, I was home for a couple months, and then I received a contract to go play in Germany. And I don't know if any of you have been there or not, but Germany is a very dark, heavy spiritual place. You know, a lot of times I feel like we over here, it's like we have our mindset backwards where, oh, like the poor people need Jesus more, you know, but that's not true. Like in Germany, they have food, they have clothing, they have money, they have cars, they have great jobs. Like, so they think, you know, why do I need Jesus? So it's a dark place. And being a professional athlete, you train twice a day, you play twice a week, you know, you're always traveling, going to meetings, appearances, stuff like that. You know, so at the beginning of season, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know the language. So I, again, you know, I'm talking to God, like, not, you know, that's what I did. But when you get in the rhythm of season and you finally have a day off, man, I'm going to celebrate. And I did. And I, you know, would go out and, you know, party and enjoy, you know, okay, well, I've worked so hard for this, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to indulge myself. So once again, my actions spoke a lot louder than my words. So I ended up signing a second contract. So I was gone for 10 months, came back to Nebraska for 2 months, and went back to Germany my second season. And I was there for 6 weeks, and I ended up needing shoulder surgery. So, it, you know, my first injury of my entire career, it was a Tuesday that I had the MRI. Wednesday, I was seeing the shoulder specialist. Thursday, I was in the hospital getting tests done and making sure I was healthy enough to have surgery. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were in Poland. And then Monday morning, I had surgery. And I remember waking up. I was in it was honestly probably a 5x10 room with three other women in there. You know, nobody speaks English. And the nurses think that if they talked louder in German, I would understand. But I'm sorry, I still don't understand, even though it's louder. So I, once again, like, I was alone. I was, you know, hurting. I was lost. I was broken. And once again, I remember, okay, God, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live like this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm crying out to you. I need you. Well, little did I know that that Friday, my coach called me in, and he asked if I wanted to be sent home to do treatment. And, of course, I jumped all over that. So I got sent back home. and I was back in Nebraska for 3 months. Now, in Ephesians, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world. And that's where I was. But in this time, when I was back home, is when I truly encountered the love of Christ. And my life has never, ever been the same. I remember going home, and I remember God finally, you know, just saying, like, all right, Danielle, are your actions finally going to match up with your words? Are you truly going to be sold out for me? Are you going to passionately seek me? Like, and showed me how much he passionately loved me, you know? And I remember talking to my dad, like having a lot of conversations with him, getting involved in church and like truly seeking and thirsting, you know, I want to know all of this. Like, I know this to be true now. And I didn't want my life to be the same. So that is when I truly, truly encountered the love of Christ. And what God did was, you know, in Colossians when it said, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in which we have forgiveness and redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And that's what he's done. You know, on the cross, he forgave me and all of my sins, and he's truly, you know, lifted me up and transferred me into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So anyways, I was back home for those 3 months, and, you know, going back to Germany, I was a little nervous, and I remember praying about it and people praying with me and for me because I was different. I was so different. But I went back. I had 5 more months on my contract. So I went back, and I ended up getting involved, searched out a church. It was an international church, and the pastor and his wife were actually from here. He's from Michigan, and she's from Texas. Now, growing up in Nebraska, you know, the Texans kind of have they walk a little higher than everyone else, I think. No offense to anyone who's from Texas, but this woman, so she was from that, so she had the attitude, but she was amazing, and she was very harsh with me, but that's what I needed. She held me accountable, she discipled me, she mentored me, she took me in, she, you know, anytime you have, you know, between practices or this or that, like, she made time for me, and it was so important. So important. I'm really grateful for her and her discipling. So I was different. My teammates noticed it. My coaches noticed it. And they asked me, you know, they're like, what is wrong with you? You know, like, what happened? And, you know, I did get to share a little bit. I like to think I was planting seeds because nobody really got it. But Lord willing, they will someday soon. Anyway, so it came to be March this year, 2011, and I remember having the opportunity to sign a third contract to go back and play, and I really didn't have peace about it at the time, and I prayed about it, and prayed about it, and prayed about it, and I remember, clear as day, it was a Friday morning, I was at morning training, and I was shagging balls, you know, picking up the balls, put it in the cart, and I remember hearing, Danielle, give up volleyball for a year and allow me to show you what else I've created you for. You're a good volleyball player, but you're going to be an amazing wife and amazing mother. Now, I don't know if it, you know, it was like audible or, but I could hear as clear as day where, you know, I did kind of like look around me like, oh, that was a little freaky, but, you know, God, is that you? And I knew it was. I knew it was because I had been praying and trusting that he was going to lead me in this decision to sign the third contract or not. And now, you know, playing volleyball basically my whole life, you know, that's how I made my money. You know, in the off season I would coach. That was my income. So for God to be telling me to give up volleyball for a year, you know, is a little scary, you know, and okay, God, but I know, and I want with all of my heart to be obedient to you. And I absolutely know, like, this is what you're calling me to do. And you know, the peace that transcends all my understanding of, okay, what is this and what's going to happen? But God gave me that peace. And so I got to share with my coach, even at the time, you know, why I made the decision I did. And So I finished out my contract until May. And then, so then the whole year, you know, May or March of 2011 to March 2012, God did the most amazing things in my life. I got to work with refugees that live in Omaha from Bhutan and Burma, and I got to go actually to India on a missions trip. And when I was 14 years old, God put on my heart that I was going to do something to be in missions, involved in missions. And so, you know, but volleyball always took place of that because I was always playing and never had the opportunity. And so God gave me that opportunity. And I got that month of January, we were doing this challenge where you were fasting your time, you know, and there, I know actually Gary just talked about fasting and the technical is the food, which there were days, but I didn't do it for the whole month for food, but my time, you know, and things in my life. And so I got to spend so much time with God and restoring my relationships with my family. And I remember it was that February, and going back to Germany with my pastor's wife, her name is Debbie, and she had always talked about me about being rebaptized. Well, you know, it was on my heart, but it never really, you know, happened. And when I went back home, I had set up not appointment, but we were going to do it at my house with one of our ministers, and it just didn't happen. So it just kept getting pushed back. Well, that month of January, God kept putting it on my heart, you know, to really do it. And so February came, and I asked our pastor, you know, hey, are we having any baptismal services? And the tank was getting fixed at the time, so he's like, get back to me. And so I'm like, okay. So I think it was maybe like the very end of February, beginning of March. I don't know the exact date, but it was a Wednesday night service. And we have prayer services on Wednesday night. So I, you know, went there, and our pastor came up to me, and he's like, March 18th, you know, save the day. Like, that's our next baptismal service. So I was like, all right, awesome. You know, so excited, so pumped. So I went home that night, and I was still just wanting to worship, you know. So I went up to my room, and I was praying and worshiping, and I was like, wait a minute, March, like, that's been about a year, you know, since God told me to give up volleyball. So I'm a journaler. I started a journal in 1994. And when I was in Germany, you know, I wrote a lot. So I pulled up my journal, and right then and there, March 18th, the exact date that God called me to give up volleyball for a year, I was going to be baptized exactly a year later. So I like jumped up out of my seat, like, whoa, God, like, you are so awesome. You know, like, this is amazing. You are amazing. So for me, it was like God was saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, and so I remember talking to my pastor and sharing the date and the journal and all this stuff with him. And I specifically remember him saying, watch out. After March 18th, like, God has great things in store for you. And I was like, amen. Like, I received that, you know. I ended up getting baptized exactly a year later from God calling me to be obedient to him. Now, if I can go back just a little bit, and excuse me, I'm going to take a little sip. Like I said, I am a journaler, and I was back at my parents' house this summer, and I was going through my old journals, and for the first time, I felt that God was truly convicting me to share this journal entry. Now, I have prayed multiple times that my parents never find these journals, or anyone. because of where I was apart from Christ, honestly, and what they say. And I just wouldn't want them to be hurt by reading what I wrote. But anyways, I, once again, and I always know it's the Holy Spirit because my heart feels like it's going to just jump out of my chest. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I'll do it. It's not till November, but I'm going to do it. So, if I can just share this journal with you. It's from October 16th of 2006. Now, just to give you a little brief background, this was my senior season at Nebraska. We were undefeated at the time, my senior volleyball season. Undefeated at the time, the national championship was actually in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, really there's only two seniors that year that finished their career with a win. That was myself and my teammate. And, you know, couldn't have written a better story. We only lost one game that year, but we ended up going on to win the national championship in my hometown, my senior year. You know, so once again, from the outside looking in, you know, hey, this girl, wow, she's great. She has this going on, but my actions spoke louder than my words. You know, we like shiny things, right? And so anything shiny I saw, I went and got it. Just like a rotten apple, it can look so delicious and enticing on the outside, and you take one bite and it's rotten. And that's where my heart was, apart from Christ. So if I can, I'm just going to read this. And really, when I was convicted to read it, God was saying, Danielle, there's no better way, there's no more accurate way to explain where you were apart from me than reading where you actually were apart from me. So it says, October 16th of 2006, there have been two other times in my life I remember crying like this, tonight being one of the top nights. Feel no more. Real pain soon will fade. Tonight was the first night in forever I came close to cutting. I want to now. But once again, volleyball messes everything up. Right now, I'm a messed up girl. I don't know what's good or bad for me. I don't like living. I want to talk to my mom, but all I hear is good, and I'm not good. I'm messed. I hate my life. I look around me and count my blessings. Well, that's exactly it. I should be happy. I have it all, but not to me. I feel trapped, alone. I'm so far down. I'm so far gone. Wanting to quit, wanting to run. To you and yours, you won't notice I'm gone because I've already left. Sorry for bringing you down. Maybe now without me, you'll change. You'll be you and free. You won't miss me. You can now live without me. 7 years, I'm dead by then. My mind is gone. My passion for living is gone. My life is at the bottom. Hate is a strong word, but I hate my life. Right now, I'm nowhere I'm wanting to be. I'm nowhere but amongst people traveling nowhere. I don't know what to do or where to go. God, I feel like I want to die. I don't feel you. I don't see you. I know you are real, but where are you? I'm broken. I've reached it. I realize I'm there. Now what? I'm done. I'm gone. Just like that, you won't see me. In the blink of an eye, I've finally given up. I've reached the point to admit it. I'm the bigger person, me. It's over. It's over. Now, those are very deep, dark place. And I would pray that nobody is ever there, that nobody ever reaches that point. I wouldn't want anyone to be where I once was, apart from Christ. Now, when I first tore this out back in June, knowing I was going to speak tonight, I didn't realize until I was prepping recently that in here it says 7 years, I'm dead by then. And when I was prepping, I looked at the date, and it's exactly 7 years and 1 month since I wrote this. Now, God knew, you know, but I didn't know, but that person is dead, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, it's just amazing how his love has truly changed my life. You know, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Now, if I were to say Danny Mancuso, I'm sure probably none of you would know who that is. But that was my old self. But now you know me as Danielle Helu, right? That's how it's presented tonight. That's how I present myself. And that's because I'm a new creation in Christ. In the Bible, many times, you know, God changes people's name. You know, Abram, Abraham, and so on and so forth, and, you know, Saul to Paul. Well, this is someone I can really relate to. If I could read really quickly, in 1 Timothy 12 through 16, it says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Now, I am the worst of sinners, and you know, but Christ's love and his mercy and his grace has changed my life, and I'm very humbled that he has called me here for this moment, you know, to share this with you. And going back to the name change, so I ended up getting baptized, you know, on March 18th, and within that year of, you know, walking in obedience to God, I started exclusively pursuing, we don't really like the word dating, but Roy and I started exclusively pursuing Jesus Christ and one another. We had never talked about marriage. We had never said, "I love you," anything like that. Little did I know, after March 18th, exactly 9 weeks, we got married. It was a week after I was baptized, and he ended up proposing to me. And again, you know, we got married 8 weeks later, and again, it was God saying, you know, "Here's your new name. You're, you know, Danielle Helu, that this is your new name. This is who you are in Christ now." So it just, you know, God is faithful. And he has just done so much for me, and he continues to remain faithful even when I am not to him. And I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, I think I'm great and exempt from sin, because I'm still a sinner, and I know that, and I continually have to walk with him and die to myself, you know, that myself would decrease and he would always increase in my life. Now, I just kind of want to encourage you women tonight and young women. One, if you don't know Christ, you know, I don't know your story, but if you don't know Christ, please just seek him. Call out to him, and he is so faithful. He is just right there waiting for you. And realize how much he loves you, and he desires you, and he's passionate about you. And don't do it because of what you'll get. You know, so many times in the Bible, God talks, "If, dot, 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 then I will, dot, dot, dot." And you shouldn't, you know, seek him because of something you're going to get from it. You should seek him because he's worthy, and he deserves that honor, and he deserves your, just your surrender to him in everything. Now, those of you, probably most of you, have a sincere walk with Christ, you know, and I pray that you do. Continue seeking him. You know, something doesn't always have to be wrong, you know, and that's great. That's amazing, you know, and God has gifted you with that. But continue, again, just passionately falling in love with him and putting him first, you know, above your children, above your husband, above your career. I mean, anything, I heard this before, anything you have to compromise to have, you don't really have it. You've already lost it. And for me, you know, apart from Christ, I had put my, you know, my hope and my trust in, you know, guys or partying or doing this or that, or even good things as volleyball and being successful in volleyball and my career, and it all left me empty. There's no truer satisfaction than walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can fulfill anything. I mean, even now that I am married, I don't put my dependence in my husband. Yes, we are one and we're united, but I would get it all backwards, and my life would fall apart, you know, if I didn't put Christ first. So I just want to encourage every one of you, you know, whether you're where you're at, or, you know, even if you have loved ones or, you know, friends or someone you've been praying for so long, like, please do not stop praying for them. I remember specifically my father telling me, you know, I had to give you up 3 times to prayer. He's like, I didn't know what else to do. You know, and I even to this day, I continually thank him for praying for me. And I know my mother was a part of that as well. But also be careful not to make that an idol, you know, pray that God's will be done in that person's life. Trusting that, you know, they will come to salvation and they will come to know Christ, but also just as a warning, not to make anything an idol, even the good things, in your life. Now, like I said, you know where I was apart from Christ. In that journal entry, you know what Christ did. And I would like to just share with you just one more journal. It's I actually wrote it to my husband. We were apart for a little bit. And God just gave me this revelation. And so I would like to just share with you now where we are at and where I am at in Christ. So this is from July 22nd. Of this year, of 2013. It says, well, you guys have been here before. It'll get easier. This is how your relationship has always been. Words we hear often, but being apart from you hasn't gotten easier. I don't believe it ever will. And the reason why, because Christ comes first. In our relationship with him, as we grow in intimacy with Jesus Christ first, we are continually brought to new revelations of who he is, deepening and strengthening our bond with him first. Then, almost simultaneously, but not quite, our relationship with one another deepens and strengthens. Our marriage is carried to new heights, new depths. As God freely pours out his unconditional love and grace on us, it is a natural response to extend that same love and grace toward one another. So technically, we've not been here before, and it definitely is not easier this time around, because we have developed a sweeter, more mature love for Christ as so with one another. I am grateful you encountered Christ's love first. You fell in love with him first, and I am second. I pray that never changes. I am grateful you are God's best for me, that God chose you as his hands and feet to demonstrate the image and likeness of Christ to me. Roy, I cannot love you if I love not Christ, and I cannot love him if I love not you. I undeniably adore you. Will we make it through this time apart? Yes, we will. Not because of anything we do or because of whom we are, but because he who is in us is greater than we could ever be. So, again, apart from Christ, I was lost, I was dead, I was depressed, I was broken. Christ came into my life, and as you can see, I didn't need a heart repair job. I needed a full transplant. In Ezekiel, it says, like, I will remove your stony and stubborn heart, and I will give you a new, tender, responsive heart. And that's what God gave me. You know, I was stubborn. I did have a heart of stone. And God totally gave me a new heart, a tender, responsive heart. And now it's very sensitive because I cry a lot now. And I never used to be that way. But I praise God for it. And once again, I'm just humbled to share. I've been praying for all of you that God's will be done ever since June, when I was asked to be here and share on this night. Life is too short and eternity is too long not to seek first Jesus Christ. So thank you.